The world famous Phil Henry Show, and welcome to our show tonight. Always glad to be with you guys here. We are broadcasting from the El Pacifico. It is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We go places other talk shows wish, pray, hope, just pine away for, but they can't. And so it is ours to tread there. Good evening. Along with me, of course, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard. We'll also have a special guest this evening. We didn't really plan any guests per se because it's a... And I was going to say it's a fluid evening, but I don't want any jokes, and I mean that. There is a terrible state of affairs weather-wise on the eastern coast of our great country. Our fellow countrymen there in the states of New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Connecticut, Rhode Island, all of those eastern and northeastern states are affected by this storm, what they call the Superstorm Sandy. And around 5.5 million people have been affected in terms of power outages. 10 people have lost their lives. I said during the pre-show, and if you're listening to us, I'm glad that you are. And, you know, I'm not really a hard news talk host. I mean, we're not here to do reporting, and we're not here to do opinion. Well, we're here to do opinion, but couched in a sort of a satire. So I'm not going to be doing any reporting on this tonight, guys. I'll give you the basic. And I would only say that, you know, if you're smart, you know what to do. I don't have to tell you. If you're one of these jackasses that wants to go out and play in the wind, then you're one of these jackasses that wants to do that. There's nothing I can say other than go ahead and play in the wind, man, because, you know, the world could probably, you know, use fewer of you than we have right now.
You said fewer.
Don't interrupt me, I said.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like fluid.
I don't care what it sounds like. Don't interrupt. So it sounds like fluid.
Bad taste.
In any event...
Shut up, man.
So, you know, like I said during the pre-show, you know, if I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you. If I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you. If you are a smart person, I'm talking to you. If you're a dumbass, I'm talking to you. Dumbasses are the ones that go out and frolic in the wind and think that they're going to go surfing or something, right? By the way... As I did say, and you don't probably need to know this, but in case, water is a very deceptive thing. Water looks like it's a lot of fun. It looks very daunting to some people, but to a lot of people, it looks like it's fun. We want to dive in. We want to swim around. Water is an extremely powerful thing, as you know. I don't think you ever really get the idea of how powerful water is, though, until you're in it. And it's doing stuff that you can't stop it from doing. Anybody that's been caught, for instance, in a riptide for any short length of time knows how weird and scary and not cool that can be. You know, suddenly you're just like going one way and you really want to go the other way. The same goes for even if you're a good swimmer, you know, and even if you're a good dog paddler, you get out in the middle of that stuff long enough and you certainly realize the limits of your endurance and your ability to swim. And you can get tired real fast. My advice, stay out of it in the first place. That way you don't have to mess with it. You know, that way it's over there and you're over here someplace dry. That's the best possible solution to that. It is not a hurricane now. It's been downgraded to a storm, a tropical storm technically, but they're calling it a superstorm because of the water that it brought with us, like 13 feet of a surge hitting lower Manhattan, hitting Battery Park there. It just basically flooded lower Manhattan with this 13-foot surge, and with no lights, nobody can see anything. You can't see the harbor, you can't see the river, you can't see the Statue of Liberty, nothing from that part of New York. It's just, but you know, one thing we do know, New York, they get up off the mat pretty fast, so we know they'll do it this time out as well. 10 people have lost their lives, though. A massive storm. It was downgraded from a hurricane after it came ashore in southern New Jersey. It brought 85 mile an hour winds. It's about like a, I guess that's a category 4. It's a lesser of the categories. The 10 people that died were in New Jersey, New York, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Connecticut. There was a woman hit by a falling street sign in Toronto, Canada, due to the high wind. Power was out for hundreds of thousands of people in New York and an estimated 5.5 million people altogether across the east. MTA cut power to the subway tunnels because there was water pouring down into the tunnels and getting onto the into the stations and getting onto the tracks. The MTA can't say At this point, how much damage has been done or how much time it's going to take to restore everything? I can imagine tomorrow morning, rush hour is going to be 90. Might as well stay home, you know. Just stay home. Consolidated Edison was prompted to cut power to part of the area to avoid storm damage. A large portion of Manhattan's FDR Drive was also underwater. Reuters reported late Monday there had been an explosion at a Con Ed power plant on the east side of Manhattan. Despite earlier reports, Con Ed said on Twitter no one was trapped inside the plant. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg says backup power has been lost at New York University Hospital. The city is working to move people out. The mayor delivered a news conference Monday night and said rain was tapering off in the city and the storm surge was expected to recede by midnight. The hospital complex affected there is near the East River in an area of lower Manhattan where flooding's been reported. You know, if you're anywhere where you're below sea level, it's a drag because the water's going to find you. And I had a little bitsy, I've had two floods affecting me, and they were both in different cities. One was in New Orleans, and I've talked often about the New Orleans flood that I was in back in 78 when the West Bank was flooded. That is the Western Bank on the other side of the Mississippi River from New Orleans. And the French Quarter, of course, being the highest piece of ground, that was fine. And that's where I was working in those days. That was the radio station I worked at was in the French Quarter of New Orleans. But to get from my flooded area to the high ground where the station was impossible. And then the other was in St. Paul, Minnesota, when you will very well remember, you guys, the winter of 93-94. And I mean, it was like up and down the Mississippi River.
What happened?
It was all that melt, all that, what do they call it, melt-off or snow? What the hell happened? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, well, the snow melted, and it brought all of the...
Yeah, the snow melted. So by the summer, and I spent a full year in St. Paul, but by the summertime, all that snow melting, because I guess there'd been a pretty heavy snowfall, it created floods, man, up and down the Mississippi River. And in St. Paul, I was living in a place called Lower Town, and it sure was Lower Town.
But they call it Lower Town to the lower? Yeah, because it's low down.
No, it's below sea level.
It's below sea level.
Yeah, but it's lower. Huh? I thought it's Lower Town because it's just low.
Yeah, like a really low grade of people? No, they don't call it Lower Town because it's a low grade of people. Why would they name a town that? Why?
Because so you know about to stay away.
To stay away. So how's that gonna help the town if you name it Lower Town because there's a low grade of people living there? How are you ever gonna get any business?
Well, no, but a lot of people that live there, they like it.
Oh, would the two of you try and find a brain between the two? Just find a flyer, maybe there's a brain on sale. Are you listening to what Phil's saying? He's saying it's Lower Town because it was lower than the level of the sea.
Yeah, there is no sea.
If there was an ocean near...
Bud, I know there is no... It's a river. You can be below sea level, man, and you can be in the middle of the country. You're still below sea level.
Yeah, how'd that work?
Yeah.
How does it work? You're serious, right?
Yeah.
Because the sea is here, and here's the land. Now, at any point, if the land is lower than the sea, even if you're a million miles away...
Okay, so technically you can be below sea level on the Mars.
Yeah, I guess, bud. But for our purposes, let's say thousands of miles, okay?
Well, you did say a million.
Now, this is where we get to the point, you see, and you guys never recognize it.
Here he goes.
Don't, not here he goes, Margaret. This is where I get to that point, you never recognize it.
What?
This is the point where I want to turn my ring around so it doesn't leave a mark.
Oh, I didn't do anything wrong. He asked the question.
Doesn't matter to me who asked the question. Now you guys make me want to turn my ring around so it doesn't leave a mark.
Why? Just because I'd ask about sea level?
Because you're so freaking dumb that it's beginning to aggravate me. Below sea level is below sea level, whether you are in the middle of the United States or standing right on the sunny banks of the coast of this great country, you are, well, there you wouldn't be below sea level.
Where would you be?
If you're standing on a beach?
Yeah.
At sea level.
You'd be at sea level? You're standing right next to the sea.
Oh, I get it. I thought it was just a term.
Oh, man.
Well, you didn't...
Wow.
Cut it out.
Wow. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry show. A little more to report on this, a little more to report on that. The HMS Bounty has sunk. That's right. His Majesty's ship, the Bounty, has sunk. And this is also a piece of storm news. Strange, strange night. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What's sea level?
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Just a shout out to Unicorn Barry tonight, and to our other friends on the East Coast and DC especially. And it looks like, yeah, you see, we have the Doppler map behind us here on Phil TV, and there it is, right there.
Look at that purple.
Don't worry about it, bud. I told you, don't mess around, man.
I'm not seeing anything bad.
I don't want to hear from you. So that is the cloud cover, and you can see it's extensive from the mid-Atlantic all the way up into New England to the northeast there, covering Ohio is affected, parts of Michigan are affected, there's Pennsylvania, there's North Carolina, bits of South Carolina. It's a big, ugly-ass freaking storm, man. And but the good news is it should be abating, as you heard that mention from the mayor of New York there, Mayor Bloomberg, by midnight. The hurricane turned post-tropical cyclone. The hurricane turned post-tropical cyclone.
Good God, what is that?
I don't know. It's a hurricane that turned into a cyclone, which is a kind of a storm, still powerful, a 900-mile-wide hybrid of several weather systems sent 30-foot-high swells toward New Jersey, and as its eye passed over the shoreline, a surge as high as 10 feet tore into dunes and washed across boardwalks. The hurricane turned into a post-tropical cyclone. I always thought a cyclone was a Pacific version of a tornado of some kind, or a Pacific version of a hurricane, where they call a hurricane in the Atlantic, a cyclone is a hurricane in the Pacific. I obviously, that's not what it is. The state had evacuated all shore towns ahead of the strike, with Governor Chris Christie telling residents who ignored the evacuation order that they were both stupid and selfish. True. Because if you stay, why are we reluctant to just say, because, you know, that's not who we are. I was going to say, why are we reluctant to say to anybody that stays behind in a storm, you know, you're on your own, and if you're, we're not going to come and find you and get you. I mean, we'll go in and we'll body bag your ass if that's what you want. But that's just not us, you know, that just is not who we are, and I understand. I do. I understand that. I would not. I don't know. I want to say to somebody, you stupid ass, your ass is inside your house. When we told you to get your ass out of your house, now you are there, you're stranded, you're going to drown, and I don't care. I'm going to use my resources to help these people over here. But that's not what people do, is it? Is that what you would? Well, I guess maybe you. I know I wouldn't. That's the kind of guy, you know. And I'm not saying that that's good. I'm saying that that's the kind of schmuck that I am. You know, that may be the dumbest thing. I'm the guy who's saying, we got to go help them. I can't. How do you do it? How do you leave somebody? Even if they're the stupidest. Now, I will tell you that after I got the guy out of there, then I would kick his ass with a, like, 2x4. So I'd save his life long enough to just beat his ass. I'm just kidding. But, you know, close to it. All right. So that was Chris Christie. He's right. If you stay, you're stupid and selfish. And not only that, there's a good chance that you're going to die. Who do you think you are? I mean, never mind. This is really something. Here's something here. If you die because you thought you were going to live, and then we got to go in and fish your rotting, stinking body out of the, you know, oh, God, after a few days, the bloating and stink alone, man, you're putting people through a whole. We can't guarantee it's going to be a very respectful funeral. We're going to have to just take you and throw you in a ditch until we know what to do with you, because we may not even be able to identify you. It will not be a very dignified way out. Anyway, the state had evacuated all shore towns ahead of the strike with Governor Christie. He said what he said. It's very intense, very dangerous storm. People will die in this storm, Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley said Monday, so folks will need to mind their families, stay home, and hunker down. Unless you're in an evacuation area there, Gov. Even homes on stilts were threatened by the massive surge, and water was creating dunes and boardwalks from Delaware's, I can't pronounce this city, and I know that we've been on the air there for a long time. Anyway, in Delaware, and Jones Beach in New York. The houses on stilts are created, as you know, to keep your house above flooding waters, especially if you've been in the Well, you know, New Orleans or anywhere in the Southeast, you see houses on stilts. As a matter of fact, here at the old El Pacifico, believe it or not, on the California coast, we've got houses up the coast from us here that are on stilts.
You're kidding. Which one?
They're out at, I think they're out at Mandalay Bay. There's houses on stilts.
What's that about? The California don't have no flood like that.
Yes, we do. We have floodplains like anybody else. And if the weather gets nuts, the water comes in and there's houses on stilts right up the beach, go ahead and take a look at them.
Well, that is insane. So why would anyone... If you have to put a house up on stilts, why buy it?
Because you've got a... What do you mean, why buy it? Because you got a view of the ocean. Because you're living at the ocean. Because it's a beautiful thing to have. Because your house is on stilts. Who cares?
Yeah, that's like a daily reminder that every day you go in that house, every day you leave that house, you see those stilts. That's like a daily reminder someday that house, they're going to take it away from me.
Yeah, someday God will take that house.
What are you talking about, man?
Easy, Phil, easy.
Yeah, slow down.
What I was going to say is, that's not necessarily the case. We see houses on stilts, the first thing that we want to do is laugh. Those of us who don't come from house stilt country, you know. And I've seen houses on stilts everywhere. I've seen them out in the Biscayne Bay. I've seen them in the South Pacific. I've seen them here on the West Coast. I've seen them on the East Coast. It's a way of avoiding high tides. It's a way of avoiding areas that are traditionally flood. There's nothing unusual about it. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily cooked, your goose is cooked or otherwise cooked or even simmered.
What would happen if your goose was simmered? That's cute.
I would want my goose to be simmered instead of cooked.
Is that right? Okay, that's great.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, Margaret. But see, when you...
What?
Okay, are you done?
No, I was just saying, would you rather have your goose cooked or simmered? What?
Okay, I'd rather have my goose simmered. Is that fine? Does that work? Is that working for you?
What are you all pissed off about?
It's a figure of speech, bud. It's got nothing to do with actually cooking a goose. Wow.
You didn't know that? About what? About cooking a goose? What do you know about cooking a goose?
It's a figure of speech. My goose is cooked, meaning I'm done for. You're done. You're effed. To put it in a more crude way, you're effed.
Oh.
I'd rather have my goose simmered than cooked.
Well, I mean, think about it.
There's no correlation in what we're talking about between a simmered goose. It's either cooked or it ain't. All right, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo shut down all major New York bridges and schools. Airports and the New York Stock Exchange was closed for Tuesday north of Atlantic City. The storm was expected to be at maximum force from about 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. So we have passed the bad time there in New York City. That's good. And my friends in Connecticut, I've been hearing from friends in Connecticut today. I hope you guys are okay. And I just, you know, 10's enough, man. That's terrible. National Guard was deployed along the densely populated Atlantic coast and airport shut down Monday afternoon as the storm churned in from the sea. There's a lot of people back there. That's the birthplace of our country. That's where everybody essentially was, that's where everything was concentrated, and that's where it still is. And there's a lot of people affected there. All right, so the world-famous Phil Hendry Show will churn on, as I mentioned. Now, I had this story about the bounty. One person is dead and one is missing, and this is actually... the HMS Bounty, my understanding is a ship that was used in the filming of at least one of the movies, one of the Bounty movies. That's at least what I heard from my good close personal friend, Mr. Northcraft, and he never lies except when he has to, which I totally understand, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. All right, so it says here, searchers on Monday evening found the body of one of two missing crew members of the stricken ship, the HMS Bounty, which sank off the coast of North Carolina after it was caught in Hurricane Sandy. The U.S. Coast Guard said Claudine Christian, age 42, was pulled from the water unresponsive and transported to Elizabeth City Hospital, the Coast Guard said. She was later pronounced dead. Crews continue searching for the remaining missing person, identified as the ship's captain, Robert Walbridge, 63. Earlier Monday, two Coast Guard helicopters rescued 14 people from life rafts as they were forced to abandon ship. Coast Guard rescue pilot Lieutenant Jenny Fields told NBC News that the rescue operation was a challenging hoist. Coast Guard swimmer Randy Haba helped pluck several crew members off a 25-foot rubber life raft. The 180-foot three-mast ship issued a distress signal late Sunday after taking on water. The director of the HMS Bounty Organization, Trace Simonin, said the ship, which was built for the 1962 Marlon Brando movie Mutiny on the Bounty, had left Connecticut last week en route to St. Petersburg, Florida. All right, we'll be back with more of that and other stories related and unrelated here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on this Monday night, Tuesday morning at the El Pacifico.
I don't know about it, too. Yeah, you don't cook it. You don't simmer it.
You could simmer a goose if that's how you want.
Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Art Griego. Mr. Griego is a retired commercial pilot as well as a private charter pilot. And you also were in the freight business, air freight business for a while. Art, you've done all things having to do with pilots. We were talking here about the bounty, and you called us with a little bit of information on that.
The bounty was the ship that was taken over by the English crew. That was the mutiny.
Yeah, that we were reading about the original bounty, right?
Exactly, the original bounty. Now, the one that sunk and had the people missing, I don't want to... It's difficult, and I don't want to turn this into another episode of the Long Island Medium, and I mean that with all due respect, because... the name of the young lady that was that died tragically on that ship, her name was Christian.
Yeah, I understand that, and I don't really want to go there.
You know, you don't want to...
No, I don't. I don't want to... There's not going to be any laughs, okay?
Well, that was the reason why I called.
Okay. I mean, we can talk about other things. How is the... how is your business?
Well, my business, I'm retired, so there is no business. But I guess my son-in-law has got the business now. You can ask him. Last I heard, things are going great.
And oh, so your son-in-law bought the air freight business?
Yeah, he bought that and the charter business. So that's I talked to Trudy as my daughter, and Devin is her husband, and the two of them are doing fine. And I've got two grandkids, so they're doing great. And you know, it's interesting, Phil. I don't know if you ever saw that movie about Schmidt, but there's a scene in there where the man who's retired, he goes back to the company to say, "Well, if you need any help, let me help you out. I'd be happy to," because he suddenly finds himself at loose ends and he doesn't really have anything to do. And I remember thinking how pathetic that was.
Why is that?
Well, because the last thing that I want to do once I retired was to go back and ask my son-in-law or my daughter or anybody, do you need some help? I mean, I was glad to be rid of it. I honest to God, I was, and I've settled into a very comfortable life. Sharon and I, we take our plane up to Morro Bay, and we go up to Pismo Beach, and I go golfing, and I have a good life, and I don't want any part of that, you know, at all. But I was doing some reading on this bounty, and that's why I called you up, but you don't want me to talk about that.
No, I understand the young lady's name is Christian. That's as far as we're going to go with that. By the way, this ship that we're talking about, folks, it was built for the 62 movie.
And I read that too. So I guess what I'm getting at is there's no real reason for me to be talking to you right now.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that you called. I am. I'm glad you called, and I hope you're well. You don't want to talk about the company.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the bounty.
Well, I can talk about the bounty. I just don't want to talk about this girl's name being Christian, the poor girl that died, okay?
I understand, and I know the sensitivity you have, Phil, but the guy that was on the ship was Christian.
Yes, I know, and everybody else does.
You think everyone else knows that?
Yes, I think everyone knows the name Fletcher Christian. So we don't need to keep talking about that.
Well, there's no reason to be interested in the story.
I mean, I'm sorry. What, Margaret?
Hi, Art. This is Margaret Gray.
I'm sorry?
This is Margaret Gray.
All right.
Have you heard of me?
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
You've never heard of me?
No, ma'am.
Never mind.
What do you mean, never mind?
Well, I'm not going to start an interview with a guy that's a retired charter airplane, whatever he is, and he's never heard of me. That puts him higher than me.
I just never heard. I don't to be higher than you. I've never heard of you.
You see how he keeps repeating it?
All right, fine, fine. You know.
What did she want?
I don't know. What was your question?
I'm not going to ask any question because he didn't know who I was. Now, I know that makes me sound snooty, and I know that that makes me sound like I'm full of myself, but that's just going to have to be the way it is.
Well, ma'am, if I could just jump in, I don't think it makes you sound snooty at all. I think it makes you sound discerning and discriminating and, you know.
Well, I appreciate that very much, but I still don't want to talk to you because you don't know who I am, and you're some kind of a bush pilot.
Well, you know, you're right. I am a bush pilot. That's all I am, is a bush pilot. And I was lucky enough, Phil, to and Margaret, to develop my company to a point where I made a lot of money. And I got out of it because I went through a shock, and I didn't want to have any more to do with it. I don't miss it.
What shock did you go through?
I had a very terrible shock. You didn't hear about my partner was Dave Steuben. Did you know Dave?
No, I did not.
I had a partner named Dave Steuben who had gone up to Grizzly Bear Company, a country, about the same time that other guy had gone up there, that Tim Treadway or whatever his name is.
Yeah, the Grizzly Man.
Yeah, the Grizzly Man. Dad had gone up there because he'd taken a month-long vacation just to go salmon fishing, and he'd gotten into that grizzly maze, they call it. And I dropped him off, and I was going to pick him up. And I don't even know why I'm telling this.
No, tell me the story.
Oh, my God. Does this have the same ending as the other one?
Well, yes, because I landed, and I didn't land. I circled, and I saw what was... There was a bear down there, and there was a dance campsite. I thought I saw some human remains. Dan used to wear a hat with lures in it. You know, fishermen that wear these hats with lures in them?
Yeah.
Now, the part of this that was bizarre and was almost, I couldn't even fathom this, Phil, but I the part of this that really bothered me was the fact that Dan wore this hat when I was circling the landing site, when I was circling first the campsite and then the landing site. I saw what was unmistakably the remains of my friend. And this bear, which was about a mid-sized female grizzly, had this hat on its head.
Oh, come on.
Are you being serious?
Mr. Henry, do you think I'm going to kid about the death of my friend?
Well, what? Are you telling me the bear had the hat on?
The bear had the... I don't know. I'm not saying that the bear put the hat on. I'm just telling you that there was a bear wandering around my friend's campsite. My friend, whose remains I could see, Phil, I saw, I won't even go into it, but I saw with horror what had been my friend after having been torn apart by this bear. And now this bear is walking through my friend's campsite with this hat on, and I don't know why that struck me. It angered me more than anything else.
Well, what, Phil, can I ask?
Go ahead.
That's crazy.
Shut, hold on. What do you think? Are you... First of all, I want to know, are you joking?
Yeah.
No, I am not. No, I am not joking. I understand how confusing it... And I don't think I'm telling the story all that well, because the first time I told it to the media when they called me, I told it in a way... I don't know how the bear got the hat on. I think probably what happened was in tussling with Dan or in otherwise attempting to take him down and do whatever bears do. Somehow the hat got off of his head and onto the bear's head. But it angered me. And I've never been angry at nature. I know what nature is. I've been around nature my whole life.
But you're talking about a bear wearing a hat. Are you kidding?
Where have you been, man? We've been asking him if he's kidding, okay?
And are you kidding?
Where are you two idiots at? What are you doing, reading comments? What is that?
That it's Nancy and Sluggo.
Nancy and Sluggo. What are you doing reading it here?
Because you had that picture on the website. I want to find out more about it.
Get that out of it. If you want to read Nancy and Sluggo, go in the other room, okay?
All right.
Why aren't you leaving?
We want to stay here.
Yeah. Well, then, if you're going to stay here, don't read your comic books. Nancy and Sluggo.
Are we
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So I came home from that trip, and obviously I alerted the authorities. I alerted Fish and Game, and they came in with a medical evacuation helicopter. It was a horrible thing to see, but nothing of the horror of that scene affected me as much as the anger I felt when I saw this bear walking through this campsite that had obviously been disturbed and torn up, and there were overturned coolers, and there was I can remember seeing the tent was partially collapsed. I saw food had been pulled from a couple of satchels that Dan had. And all through this mayhem is this bear wearing my best friend's hat. And when I say wearing the hat, Phil, I know it's comic. I'm not saying the bear put the hat on. I'm saying somehow in the confusion on the attack and the death of my friend, the hat left his head and somehow got onto the bear's head.
Well, I suppose that there are, you know, there's stranger things that happen in terms of just the transfers. I just don't know how a bear's head.
It's a very, very bizarre thing. And the thing that's crazy and terrible is that your friend died. And now this kind of weird thing happens. But I think we're fixating too much on the fact that the bear had the hat on. Let me ask you this. Because I can tell you, if I saw a bear with a hat on and my friend has been torn apart, I would think that there was some human had been there and done that, or that maybe there was a human involved.
Well, that was my first thought, and I asked Fish and Game, and then they checked with the Alaska law enforcement, which is the state troopers up there, and I don't know if you ever watched that show, Alaska State Troopers. I've got an affinity for the Alaska troopers. They're good men and women. I thought that, but it was impossible. There was no one. They didn't think that it was possible for a human to get up there in that deep into that maze area.
What was he doing up in that grizzly maze? They're told to stay out of there.
Not certain times of the year you can go in, but that guy, Tim Treadwell, I think is his name, Timothy, did overstay a little bit, I think, and that's what...
Do you think, was that what happened with Dan?
No, I came in there to get him in August. But I can tell you that what happened to me is after I saw that hat on that bear, I got angry, and I suddenly understood after all these years of loving wildlife and loving the endangered species, doing the work that I've done along with my wife and my daughter Trudy and Devin, everybody, and my grandkids, of saving the endangered species, and now I didn't care whether the grizzly bear lived or died. It made no matter to me anymore because I hated that thing, you know?
Well, I mean, there's the old anthropomorphizing things, you know?
I know, giving it human traits, and I understand that.
You're making that bear into something that it can mock, you know, put the hat on purpose.
I understand that, Bill, and I've heard people on your show, in fact, and I won't do that, and I refuse to do that, but I still hate the guts out of this bear.
Have you gone through, that's a shock.
You know, I was going to say, that's a post-traumatic stress syndrome shock.
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Well, yeah, it's P.T.
P.T. Barnum.
P.T. Barnum.
Would you shut up, please?
That's not what he's talking about.
No, he's talking about post-traumatic stress syndrome. P.T. S.S.?
No, it's post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD.
There you go, that's it, yeah. I did. I talked to a doctor at the VA, because I'm a veteran, and my wife said to me, well, why don't you get over the VA, and he told me that's what it was. But I've since lived through that, and now all I can think of is a bear I hate, and a bear that I want to see die, even though I'm not going to act on it. But the doctor told me I've made progress.
But hold on for a minute, will you, Art?
I'm sorry?
Would you hold on? Hang on, I got to take a commercial break.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I will.
No. All right, hold on. Art Griego is with us. He is a commercial pilot. I thought he was going to talk about the bounty.
That's why he's sitting on the phone. You want me to hang up on him?
No. I want to hear this whole thing about the bear wearing the hat.
And we're not allowed to laugh.
No, you're not allowed to laugh.
Even if it's at the Nancy Sluggo?
If you're reading a Nancy and Sluggo comic, take it outside and read it. If you're in here and you laugh at the Nancy and Sluggo comic, I'll kick your ass the same way I will kick your ass if you laugh at what Art's saying about the bear wearing a hat.
That's not fair. If you look at a Splash Mountain...
What about that? Splash Mountain, huh? You talking about Zippity-Doo-Dah and all that Song of the South? Is that it?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Well, why don't you just bring up the Country Bear Jamboree?
Yeah, there, that's perfect.
Okay, thank you very much.
But why? See, you won't answer because you don't have no answers.
Yeah, I do, and I'm not answering you because you are a fruit bar, man. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
What about Splash
Mountain? Phil Hendry Show.
Forever, I know that.
All right, we're talking here with Art Griego on the line with us from Santa Monica, California, as we talk. Originally, we were talking about the HMS Bounty, but we're getting the details on the death of his friend Dan Steuben, who was a pilot along with Art in the air freight business. He was his partner. And when you guys retired, or were you still working when this this happened?
No, we still had the business, Bill. We were this happened back in 92.
Okay.
And went up there, and I would fly him in every summer, just the same as this Treadway guy.
Well, if those of you who don't know the Grizzly Man, and I don't know if we're getting his name right, but Tim Treadway, I think. If you don't know the story of the Grizzly Man, you've probably heard of it. He was a young man from Southern California who fell in love with grizzly bears and would travel up to what is known as the Grizzly Maze in Alaska. And he would chronicle and otherwise document the movements and habits of these grizzly, getting very, very close to these animals in the process. And he left a series of videotapes, which you can still see, I think, on the Discovery Channel, is it?
Well, you can see them. Phil, they got it on the Animal Planet. They have it on...
Yeah, they do. And they're very haunting, too, because you know that this guy is going to die, you know?
Oh, I didn't know he died.
Yes, the grizzly man died.
Yeah, you got eaten by a bear.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Where are you going?
I'm going to be sick.
That happens to a lot of people.
She's literally going to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Really?
Sorry, Margaret. I'm sorry.
What? Really?
Is she... Okay, so anyway, yes, he was attacked and he was eaten by the... Why didn't she get sick about this Dan Steuben guy?
Hold on. The Dan Steuben guy's my friend, Phil.
I apologize. I'm very, very sorry. That was a terrible thing. I wonder, though, why that did not shock her or sicken her.
Oh, she thought that I was kidding when I brought up the whole idea of. And by the way, Phil, his name is Treadwell, Tim Treadwell.
Okay.
I just got it on, I looked it up on what do you call it, Wikipedia?
Yeah, Tim Treadway, you're right. Or Treadwell.
Treadwell.
Yeah.
Just think of good tires.
That's good, okay, yeah.
Good tires, yeah.
All right. All right, Margaret, I heard you. I apologize. Art, are you okay?
I'm just thinking about Dan.
I'm sorry, man. That's terrible.
But I can think of that guy's name, Tim Treadwell. I thought good tires. So I thought that was funny.
It was funny.
I think he's getting hysterical.
What?
I think he's hysterical.
Yeah. Are you going to be okay?
Better than you. You try going on the phone. I'm on the phone.
Sorry. Are you going to be okay?
Yeah, I'm... Oh, God.
You hold... Can you hang with me here, Art?
Yeah, I'm
Let's take a... we got Karen Deauville on the other line here. Karen is calling in from, Baltimore, I guess. Karen, how are you doing in the storm?
Oh, aren't you sweet, honey? We are not in Baltimore tonight. We're visiting Herb's family. We're in Atlanta. But you're so sweet to say, honey. We're very, very grateful for that.
Oh, okay, so you're not up in the storm region?
No. We're down here. We're visiting Herb's mom and dad in Atlanta. And Jerry just came in. What do you got, Jerry?
I got fruit shed.
Jerry came in, and I wanted... There's two things I called to tell you about, Phil. First of all, put it down there, Jerry. You're dripping grease all over the... Oh, God, he's dripping grease all over the motel room. First of all, I wanted to say to you that we sent Jerry to Fat Mac's Rib Shack, okay?
Oh, I love that place. Love it.
Okay, Phil says he loves it, so we did good. And the other thing I wanted to mention to you, Phil, was, shoot. I forgot. Do you know that I know the Country Bear Jamboree. That's what you were talking about. We went to Disney World and we saw that. Did you love that, Herb? The earth's smiling. My husband is smiling because the memory of the Country Bear Jamboree. Okay, so what? Oh, and what do you like?
Hold on, because we are talking about, Art is on the phone here with us, and we're talking about a friend of his that was killed as the result of that.
As the result of what? Of the
Country Bear Jamboree, that asinine and ass thing to say. Nobody had ever...
Let me hold the phone, honey. Go ahead and cut off the rim. We got, Phil, we got extra lean baby back pork ribs. Oh, God, it's good. Let me have one. Come on. Feed my husband first thing. Phil, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. We're not exactly... I mean, I'm really grateful for you to call, Karen, but the situation here with this man, Art, is that his friend was killed by a bear. And was attacked and killed, you know?
I understand that, honey. I don't think there's any... Can I tell you? Because, it's not really often that I get to go on the air with you.
Well, just eat the ribs, okay?
Which ones? The ones the bear left?
Oh, that's a duck! And a bad one! That was pretty...
Okay, tell honey...
Hold on for a minute, will you? For God's sake. We'll be right back. World famous. The ones the bear left.
I'm on this show.
Margaret, would you come on? Either throw up or don't throw up.
I'll come.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
A lot of people don't like to throw up.
Yeah, it scares them. Are you scared of throwing
Phil
up, Margaret?
Henry.
Okay.
Pacifico.
Hold on. Welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show, and every night from our El Pacifico locations here on the West Coast, and to our friends and to our close friends and to our listeners out on the east side of the country, we bid you a good evening, a safe evening, and it looks like things are starting to thin. Well, I shouldn't say. I don't know. I'm looking at a Doppler radar picture, you know.
Well, you really can't tell from that, but it does look as if it's dispersing a bit there in the New York area. Not much, but a little bit.
A lot of this weather also is being felt in the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., and it looks, by the looks of it, I mean the Delaware River, so everywhere in the major population centers of the East Coast, whether it's Philadelphia, Washington, Baltimore, New York, To some extent, Boston, and then in the interior, further into the interior, like all of Ohio. So we're talking Cleveland and Cincinnati, big area of the country being affected by this crazy weather. We have Karen Deauville on the line. We also have Art Griego. And Art, are you okay?
I'm all right, Phil. I apologize. I had a emotional moment there, and I thank you for
what can I
For being there, yeah.
Can I just tell the audience what happened was we were talking about your partner Dan Steuben, who went to the Grizzly Maze. This was years before Tim Treadwell, and was attacked and killed by a grizzly bear.
Yes. And the odd thing is, as I said to you, Phil, it wasn't so much the killing of my friend; it was the fact that the bear. When I landed, or at least as I flew over, the bear that had attacked him, somehow the hat on my friend's head had transferred over to the head of the bear.
Oh, God. Did you say the bear was wearing a hat?
Who am I speaking with?
This is Karen Deauville.
Yes, yet on my friend's hat.
Oh, that got it!
Oh, Phil, I'm sorry.
All right, I hung up on her. That was absolutely unnecessary, Mrs. Deauville. Art?
Forget it. Whatever, find out, I'll kill her.
Oh, that's great. So, all right, so I hung up on Karen.
Well, I'm glad you did. She sounded like a hyena.
Is that a woman?
Yes, it was a woman. It was her and her family. And then Art, I just heard him utter a threat, didn't you?
Yeah, I said if you find her, I'll kill her.
Great, fantastic. So wonderful. What a way to start the hour.
Not my fault.
All right. In any event, big things happening there in the Griego family. As I was asking him about the HMS, I think he was going to tell us about the HMS Bounty, but I got some other information. This is a ship that sunk. It was used in the 1962 movie. The rescued people were taken to Elizabeth City. This was a ship that was used in the 62 film, The Mutiny on the Bounty, and was doing regular tourist runs, I guess. And it got caught in this storm. And unfortunately, it was not a good thing for the crew. There were 14 people rescued. There is one missing, and that is the ship's captain, Robin Walbridge, age 63. And that ain't good. You know, I don't know. I think there were, you know.
Maybe he could be clinging to it something.
No, let's just not speculate, okay? In these modern times, where the search and rescue efforts are so sophisticated and they're so, intense and comprehensive, and they cover a wide space, a wide swath of ocean, and we have GPS and we have all kinds of aircraft, and we've got ways of pinpointing human beings in huge bodies of water. If you can't find somebody in a relatively, and I'm not saying it has to take minutes, but if you can't find someone within hours at least, or maybe a day, it's possible that that person is no longer with us. And that that may be the case because, again, it's not like in the old days where a guy is, you know, drifts around on a raft and is shipwrecked for, it has happened. I mean, we have had people who have been lost at sea for a while. But this was reported, so this was a big news event. Some ships or some boats, some people's craft out on the water, they encounter some sort of a hazard. They have a problem. The ship itself either sinks or is disabled, and no one knows about it except the people on the boat.
Well, they do have ship to shore.
If they have ship to shore, yeah. If. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they go out there.
But they have a ship to shore.
You hear, yes, you are. But sometimes people are not. I'm telling you, man, for all kinds of situations, there's all kinds of people. That's the way I like to every kind of eventuality that's bad, there's a person made for that. And what I mean by that is there's generally somebody out there who is just born to get himself into a situation like that. Sitting out there in the ocean without ship to shore or any kind of contact. Now that's a situation where your ass is lost, man, and nobody knows you're lost. That's what happened to that, I told a story, and you've heard the story a million times, about the ship that was torpedoed by the Japanese.
Oh, here we go with World War II.
Yeah.
All right, then forget it. I won't tell you.
I want to hear about it.
I'll tell Robert. You don't have to listen.
Well, I'll listen because I'm here.
No, Margaret, you can go back in the bathroom and throw up some more.
Yeah, let's go puke some more.
You know what? I do have to go to the toilet, but...
But it ain't for throwing up?
I hope you get fired.
Won't be the first time.
Yeah, it won't be the first time. Good one, Phil.
All right. The only thing I was going to say about the SS Indianapolis, nobody knew they were missing because they were on a secret mission. So a lot of time...
Well, is that like somebody on a cabin cruise on a secret mission?
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying a guy in a cabin cruiser's on a secret mission. There are reasons why people are not... We don't suspect somebody is gone. There are reasons why we don't report people missing. First of all, we don't know that they're gone. We don't... Where is he? You don't know he's out on a boat? I didn't know that. I mean, I don't... Well, he's out on a boat. Now they can't find him? Now they can't find him, yeah. That's one. And then there's the guy goes out on the boat, and everyone knows he's out on the boat. But guess what? They didn't know he didn't have any ship to shore, any way of contacting anybody. And now it's been 6 days. Where the hell is he? So it's 6 days, you know, and he might have gone missing the first day. The boat might have sunk. He might have been killed. So there are stories, contemporary stories, where they finally do see a guy. Oh, I've been out here 30 days. What was that story we read about?
That's like a fisherman or something. The guy's from Mexico. It probably don't count on account of the Mexicans... They still, like, they're in, like, I don't know, they make the boats out of stuff from the jungle and stuff.
Yeah, don't they have, like, boats are made out of a palm or something?
Who? The Mexican fishermen?
Yeah.
No, they use modern craft. What are you talking about?
What? Huh?
What are you talking about, man?
You're talking about that one guy that those Mexican fishermen got lost.
Well, I know that story. There were some Mexican fishermen that were adrift they were not adrift. So, yeah, I think they were adrift. I think the engines were out. There was no sail. So they literally were adrift, I mean, just floating out there for about 30 days. I think it was It was that long. And that is dangerous, man. Because, you know, the human body can go without food for many weeks. And when I say many weeks, the human body can go without food for 30 days, 40 days. You can't go without water. You cannot go without water. If you go any length of time without water, you are in serious, serious trouble. You must have water, and you will begin to hallucinate, and all kinds of things happen to people who don't have water. So when you're in the ocean...
Yeah, even if there's water out there, you can't drink it.
Exactly. When you're in the ocean, there is all that water around you, and you can't drink any of it because it's salt, and it is poison. It's like drinking poison. And so that's the great irony of being lost at sea and not having anything to drink. And so many people who have been lost that way, so many people who have been, out in the middle of the ocean with no means of propulsion, no means of getting home, so many of them have broken down after so many days without water, and they've not been able to help themselves, and they take a gulp of seawater, and they begin to lose it, you know.
Yeah, well, you gotta lose it if you don't have no water.
Yeah, but you start drinking that seawater, man, all that salt gets into the system, and it just begins to, it starts to just do weird stuff. I'll tell you about it. We have to take a break.
I want to find out about saltwater, what it do to you.
All right, we're going to take a break. I'll tell you in a minute. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Oh, wait a minute, man. We can't screen any calls tonight because we don't have a call screening computer. Oh, well. We're still taking calls there from Mr. Griego.
Well, they have the very special back Friends of Phil phone number.
Yeah, you want me to give it out on the air?
No, I do not. The Friends of Phil phone number is only for the very... All right, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Thank God you got rid of that Deauville woman.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445. Art Griego has called us back because you heard my alarm there, Art.
I want to apologize. I was angry, and I should not have said. I didn't think it went out over the air, and I was not intended as a serious statement. I just thought that the woman was being...
It was an insensitive thing for her to do. And we had Karen Deauville had called with her brother-in-law and her husband, and they were... they laughed when you told the story of the bear wearing the hat, the bear that had attacked and killed your friend.
Yes, sir.
And they're laughing, hearing the fact that the bear had this hat on. How the bear got the hat on, we don't know. And Art doesn't know.
I imagine, I don't want to make a joke, but I imagine Dan knows wherever he is. You know, sitting there with God, he knows now how the bear... got the hat on, but
well, whatever. So and then Karen was there with her husband and her brother-in-law, and as soon as she heard that, she started howling with laughter.
The thing that bothered me about that was that they were eating I heard you say they were eating ribs.
They were eating some ribs from Fat Matt's Rib Shack in Atlanta.
Yeah, they're down there on vacation.
Yeah.
No, they're down on vacation eating ribs, and then she said, "What part of the bear are these ribs from?" And she started laughing.
Yeah, no, I understand. It was a totally, totally tasteless.
All right, so I wanted to call and mention that. And the other thing that I wanted to mention was I have a long thought about it, and I've certainly been talking to doctors and psychologists and therapists and so forth, and talked to all kinds. I've been for hypnosis to find out why I would be so angry at a bear wearing a hat of my friend. And I was told, just as you told me, Phil, that I've personalized this and that I've made the bear that killed my friend somehow the object of my anger that I've lost my friend, and that the bear was mocking my friend. Now, I know it's impossible for a bear to mock a human being, that the bear had the hat on, and it was a mistake. It was a horrible mistake. That, you know, I'm sure the bear isn't even aware that it made a mistake, but it's something that the bear's going to have to live with.
But what do you mean the bear's got to live with it?
Because that's the only way that I can make this work in my own mind, that the bear somehow if you'll pardon the pun, bears the responsibility of this. And I know it's...
But that's exactly what the doctors are telling you. The bear did nothing.
I understand that.
The bear did not do anything. The bear acted out of its natural instinct to... And if this was after hibernation, or before hibernation, where they... I don't know how... When do bears hibernate?
I don't know, Phil. I don't care. I mean, one of the things that is...
All right, well, but Margaret...
Well, I don't know when bears. You want me to look it up?
I'll look it up. I'll find out about a bear hibernating in the wintertime. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the cartoons.
Okay, I'm not talking about a cartoon bear. I'm talking about a bear that killed my friend.
You are talking about a cartoon bear and wearing a hat.
You know what? I know it's wearing a hat. That doesn't make it a cartoon bear.
Okay, look. Bears hibernate in the winter, so the bears are either eating so that they have a full stomach when they go in and go to sleep, or they have just awakened from their hibernation. This was in the summer, right?
Well, it was late summer, yeah.
All right, so probably the bear is getting ready to go into hibernation. Either way, these animals are not the best of customers when they're looking to eat. They are a tough, that you don't want to be around.
So Dan made the mistake of being around, but why was the bear wearing a hat?
What do you mean, why was he wearing... I don't know why he was wearing a hat. You don't know why he was wearing a hat. You know?
Well, I think saying that the bear was wearing a hat is putting it the wrong way. The bear attacked and killed your friend.
Oh, no. I have to be sexy.
Well, here she goes.
Yeah, here she goes. Excuse me for being human, Phil.
What do you want to do?
Just let her go in there.
Is she sick again?
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe she shouldn't even be a part of this conversation, because I think it is an absolute, it's nothing to laugh at, and I am angry that she was laughing at it.
Yeah, hold on, I'm fine, I'm back. Mr. Griego, I was not laughing at your friend.
I know you weren't laughing at it, but you were being sick, and that's disrespectful.
I did not mean to be sick. When I heard about your friend, oh, God. When I heard about... I'm sorry, I can't help it.
Oh, God!
God, you bunch of jerk! What did you do?
I'm sorry.
What did she do?
She threw up. Oh, God!
You know, what... Do you think I did that on purpose?
No, but I mean, the least you can do is go in the bathroom, okay?
Well, I gotta go. I'm gonna be safe.
Okay, fine.
I'm sorry, Phil. I wiped up. Bud, there's a mop and a rag in that closet.
Yeah, go get it, Bud, will you?
What? I gotta clean up her throw up?
Well, I'm on the air.
Oh, get out of here, will you?
Talk to me like that.
Get out of here. Oh,
man. That might be gonna drown in a sea of vomit.
Oh, great.
Dad. You want me to mop the throw-up?
We have a break coming up in a couple of minutes. I'll do it, okay?
No, I'll do it.
No, I'll do it. You guys are such a bunch of babies.
I'll do it.
No, you... Okay, fine. You do it.
I was only... No, I don't really want to do it.
Well, you're gonna...
Let me explain. Can I explain something?
That is just absent. Even the smallest child... Even a little tiny child knows enough to find a bucket or something.
Excuse me, but I was sick. Where is the sympathy?
Sympathy for what?
Your friend is sitting there talking about a man that was eaten.
Oh.
Don't do it again.
Where is the sympathy for someone as I, sitting and listening to these stories?
Margaret, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. All I can tell you is, can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, right. There are certain things that even we in media are not supposed to hear.
I don't... Okay, that may be, but, a guy getting eaten by a bear, that doesn't send me into the throw-up mode, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, me to go clean the throw-up.
No, I didn't say I'll do it. God.
Well, you have to do it over here. Look, there's a whole pool of vomit under my chair.
Anyway, so that...
You look like you're going to be sick.
No, I'm not going to be sick. I just, it's amazing. I don't think if this is the kind of thing that makes you sick, you can't. What do you want me to do? You know, you're going to come on a radio show and you're going to throw up?
You're talking about a man being eaten by a bear, and I'm supposed to sit here and go, oh, isn't that interesting? And what do you serve with that? I'm going back to the toilet.
Good. That sounds like a good place to stay for the rest of the show.
And what does that mean?
Because you may throw up. I don't want you throwing up here in the studio. God forbid.
Oh, God, I'm sick of God.
Will you go and see if she needs a towel or something, please?
Hey. Big Dave, I have a towel.
Go away.
What?
I said to go away.
All right, Bobby out here with a towel.
Hey, bud, you got to scream everything. Shut the door. So, yeah, that's a rough one. Wherever you are, Art, I'm sorry to hear about you. Seriously sorry to hear about your friend. If I were you, I would stop thinking about your friend. If you want to think about the bear wearing your friend's hat, I would not personalize it. I don't think the bear meant anything by it. I certainly don't believe the bear did it on purpose. It was an accident. The only thing that I could think of would be that there was another human being somewhere in the vicinity there who is twisted and warped and sick and somehow saw the hat and got it onto the head of the bear as a joke, or maybe they didn't know what had just transpired. I don't know the answer to these questions, but it's a very, very tragic, tragic thing. All right. There's a couple of stories relating to the salt water in the storm there. That is the Hurricane Sandy, now Tropical Storm or Super Tropical Storm Sandy. The storm that has wreaked havoc along the East Coast struck a historic blow to one of New York City's most vulnerable and vital points, the subway system. As you've been hearing tonight in other news reports, the water pouring down into the subway system. We're going to give you some specifics on why, and it has to do with the salt water. We'll be right back. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico. Some commercials that air, I'm sure there's commercials in your local city, folks, wherever you live, there are TV commercials that air quite frequently, and like they buy a lot of airtime, right? And like there's one that's been on the air at night. When I get off the air and I turn on the tube, I'm looking at, you know, shows that I dig, you know.
Well, you're watching all the murder shows.
No, Margaret, I'm watching Investigation Discovery, not all the murder shows.
Well, isn't that what you're watching?
I'm watching Investigation Discovery, okay? Don't start telling me what I'm watching.
Well, why are you watching it?
I'm not going to get into it right now. I'm talking about something else.
Why don't you go back in the bathroom and throw up?
Why don't you shut your mouth before I do to you what I did twice before, and you'll wind up rolling around out in the street with a bucket of cold water on you. Do you want that?
No.
All right, let's stop. So anyway, No, it's Investigation Discovery, and I'm watching it. And there's a commercial that airs for this makeup school.
Oh, yeah, man, I've seen that one. That one guy puts on like a weird wig. Yeah, that guy's got a purple face.
Exactly. There's a makeup school in Hollywood, and they teach young people, young professionals, young artists who want to go into the makeup business, in the motion picture business, to attend this school. And it's a makeup, you know, they teach you the fine art of makeup. And it isn't just makeup where you maybe darken someone's, you know, put on the eyeliner or whatever, you put on some rouge, sort of make them camera ready. It's makeup for special effects. So you've got weird masks and stuff like that. And, but it airs all the time, man.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. It's just every commercial break, it's that commercial.
Yeah, and it's fine. I mean, I'm not putting them down. I think it's... I'm not mentioning the name of the school because I don't remember it, but every commercial. And lately I've been seeing Shannon Doherty now on every commercial.
Yeah, I've seen that too. She's like advertising, get your high school degree or something.
Is that what it is? High school degree?
Yeah. Think about it, man. They don't have no high school degree.
You don't?
Yeah, that doesn't matter about me.
Why doesn't it matter about you?
Because I'm not Shan Doherty, and I'm... That doesn't matter about me.
All right, it doesn't matter about you. You're making fun of her.
Well, she's a big star. Don't you think she ought to have a high school diploma and everything?
I don't think it's high school diploma. I think it's like getting a college degree.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Because it doesn't make sense. She wouldn't have no high school diploma.
Who are we talking about, Shannon Doherty?
Yeah, she's doing a commercial for this school or getting her degree or getting her something. And Bud seems to think it's for high school. I think it's a college degree.
It's a trade. It looks like, well, I shouldn't say. Isn't it like a trade school?
Well, it's sort of. It's promoted as a trade type school because she's showing herself in different makeup, being different kinds of people.
Yeah, they got like a. There's one time she's an airline pilot, and then another time she's a cop.
A cop? All right.
It's for a trade school, like when you get on a matchbook cover.
Oh, why don't you shut up before I shut you up?
Hey.
I'm telling you.
Margaret, you're the one that's puked up and he had to mop it up, okay?
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Dog, I mop up your throw-up.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a time when I've got to mop up your throw-up.
Why, when I throw up when I see your face in the morning?
Well, you lousy stink...
Hey!
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a big meeting with myself. That's it, just a meeting with myself. I don't need any other advice. And it's just going to be me sitting down with me, and I'm going to say the following thing to myself. You know what, Phil? What, Phil? I'm going to fire all three of them. Okay, you go right ahead. Thank you. That's how long the meeting will be.
You won't even take a lunch break?
No, I won't take a lunch break.
Won't you ask for opinions?
I got an opinion.
Yeah, from who?
From me.
That's only one.
No, there's two. I'm having a meeting with myself.
Yeah, but you already have your mind made up.
I think you're a little biased.
Who's biased?
The other person voting.
Not to mention, what's the head shrinker going to think when they bring the nut house?
Yeah, I'm going to kick somebody's ass, I swear. All right, so anyway, welcome back. So on the East Coast, as they deal with this storm, they're dealing with something else. And this is the salt water that apparently is going to be pouring into, or is, I shouldn't say is going to be, it's pouring into the... subway system there in New York. And there was an interesting article here I wanted to read to you guys. It has to do with the Metropolitan Transit Authority and how they're going to be dealing with this problem. But when the salt water pours into the subway system, you've got two things that don't get along at all. You have the mechanics, the electronics, and really the very, very touchy mechanics and electronics of a rapid transit, a mass transit system, and you have all of this salt water, which is just about as destructive a thing as there could possibly be, as you know, to electronics, and is a terribly destructive thing to metals of all kinds. Now, I'm trying to find the article that I just had here. Oh, boy, I don't know how I lost this thing. It's in the New York Times, but essentially the guy was talking, and this was the man who heads up the rapid transit, the Metropolitan Transit Authority in New York, saying that this is just the worst possible thing that can happen. Now, you got a lot of people that are going to be going to work tomorrow morning or trying to go to work, and obviously they won't be. The subway, there's no way they're going to be able to use the subways. And not to mention the fact that if... the destruction to the subway system is the type that they're thinking will happen, you may not be able to use the subway system for a while they're repairing things. So I had the article, man, I don't know where it is. That really, really hacks me off now. And you know why I don't have it? Because I'm breaking a fight up between you two knuckleheads.
Well, Phil, I hardly...
That's what I'm saying. I had this article. I was going to read this article. Did I print it off? No. You two idiots... are going through all kinds of fights. So anyway...
Well, when in doubt, just, you know...
Yeah, when in doubt, do another story.
Oh, okay. When in doubt, do another story. That was the story... You know what? The story that I feel like doing? I feel like talking about the Mad Bomber. That's who I feel like talking about.
Why is there only ocean? There's not a picture of you on the Phil TV.
Because that's what I want to look at right now. The ocean calms me down.
What a baby.
Oh, be quiet. All right, so the Mad Bomber, Bud.
His name's Bud, not Bob.
My name isn't Bod.
I didn't call you Bod. I called you Bud.
It sounded like Bod. All right, I'm sorry.
What are you looking at me like you want to kill me or something?
I do. I do want to kill you. I do. That's very good. That's great. You got very good perception.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
You're looking, scaring me the way you're looking at me.
It should. If a guy looks at you who wants to kill you, the look that he gives you should scare you. If for no other reason, not that he necessarily wants to scare you, but he's intent on ending your life. So the look he's going to have on his face to you, the guy that he wants to kill, is going to be very scary. I would think.
Now, come on, Phil, quit kidding around.
Who's kidding? I'm not kidding. I want to kill him. That guy sitting right there, Bud Dickman. Budley L. Dickman, I believe is your full name, right?
Budley R.
Oh, excuse me, Budley R. I want to kill you. Okay? Now, there's one thing, and one thing only, that can save your life.
What?
Shut up.
Well, that seems simple enough, Bud.
Yeah, I can do that.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I just heard you say something.
You just said you could do that.
I heard him, Robert. I don't want him to say anything. I don't want you to say anything either.
You gonna kill me?
No, I'm not gonna kill you. Him, I'll start with. After I'm done with him, I'll move to you. And then Margaret, after I'm done with him...
Phil, you're not funny now.
Oh, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny. See, I'm losing my mind. You don't know what it looks like when a man loses his mind, but it's essentially this. Things begin to make sense that don't make sense to anybody else. See, the whole world sees things one way, and a crazy guy sees it a different way. But guess who's crazy in the mind of a crazy guy? All you people are crazy. I'm fine!
All right, we'll be quiet.
It isn't so much that I need you to be quiet, it's that you don't have any sense of when it is I'd like you to talk and when I'd like you not to talk. Now then, the Mad Bomber. Let's talk about him.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Why'd you think of him?
A, because we were talking about Consolidated Edison and the problems they're going to be having in getting the city of New York up and running. And it reminded me of a story having to do with Consolidated Edison. And B, because you're bugging me. Now, Consolidated Edison was where a guy by the name of George Metesky worked at one time. George Metesky came to work for Consolidated Edison fresh out of the United States Marine Corps. He had been with the U.S. Marine Corps just after World War I ended. By all accounts, he was a fine Marine. He left the Marines and he went to work for Con Ed. In 1931, George Metesky was working around some equipment at Con Ed, at one of their power plants. There was some kind of an explosion. There were gas fumes emitted. George was thrown. He also inhaled some of these toxic fumes, and he was disabled for several months, if not a year or so. He put in for disability. Initially, it was granted. When he found that he had chronic problems relative to his breathing, he thought he had developed pneumonia as the result of these gases that he had to infume there at the Con Ed plant. He thought he developed tuberculosis as a result. He put in for more disability, and it was flatly turned down. George Metesky tried to contest this in the courts. It didn't work. George Metesky, much like many people that we've heard of since then, decided to get even with Con Ed.
And he started to plant bombs.
He started to plant bombs. George Metesky was a man who lived in the 1930s and 40s. In fact, he just died, when I say just died, 1994. Guess where he was?
Jail?
Nope.
I don't know where.
In a nut house.
Oh, God, they thought he was insane.
Legally insane. You see, George Metesky, after Con Ed refused his disability requests, he began to fixate on Con Ed. He fixated on three people in particular who he said had perjured themselves relative to his story. And from 1940 until 1956, 16 years, George Metesky planted bombs in the city of New York. Bombs planted at Radio City Music Hall. Bombs planted at the bus terminal. Bombs planted at the Port Authority. Bombs planted at Grand Central Station. In the big movie houses. All over the damn city. Public library. And, of course, at the headquarters of Consolidated Edison. And he did this for 16 years. There was only one period of time after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor that he sent a letter to the newspapers, to the press, in which he said, I'm a patriotic American, and I will not plant any bombs for the duration of the war, but then after that, I'm going back to bombing, and Consolidated Edison, you better watch out.
Are you making this up?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
No, I'm not making it up. Why don't you go to your favorite site, bud, Wikipedia?
I know it's not Winklepedia.
I'm going to look it up now.
Me too.
Yeah, go ahead. You guys look it up. He was finally caught in 1956 by a, what we were reading earlier, Dan Northcraft and myself, was an early version of profiling, offender profiling, very early version of offender profiling. It was a very smart New York City detective who realized that the forensic ability they had in those days, the ability they had to detect criminals, they'd gotten to the very end of the line. They'd exhausted everything they knew as of 1956. It was then that he went to a friend of his who was a criminologist and psychologist and asked him to begin to work up a psychological profile based upon some letters, these scraps of notes that this guy had sent to newspapers and to the police, mocking them. And this is what a sociopath does. Somebody who is a sociopathic loves to taunt and control. George Metesky was eventually found out, and he was arrested at the home that he shared with his two sisters in 1956. And if you find a picture of him online, you will note that he is behind bars, but he's got a smile on his face. He's smiling, almost like he's nuts, which I think is that's exactly how they adjudicated this thing. The guy was criminally insane. Although there was a method to this guy's madness. I'm not even sure. You know what I mean?
Well, apparently, if you're crazy, you don't know that what you're doing is wrong.
Right. And so this guy, how could they call this guy crazy when he knew what he was doing was wrong, when he knew that he was trying to avoid detection? And on top of that, over a 16-year period, this guy was doing this.
Man, maybe they thought that when that thing blew up, the gas infected his brain or something.
Yeah, remember that movie we seen the other night about the X-gas?
What X-gas?
That movie we seen.
Well, it's a science fiction. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, remember it had the X gas? If you breathed it, it'd make, you'd grow like horns and stuff.
Hey, man, that's a movie, okay? That's a movie.
You said you liked it, though.
Yeah, I liked it. It was fun. It was great to watch.
Okay.
What's that got to do with real life, man?
You said when that guy, his head started to change.
I thought it was cool when the guy breathed the gas and turned into a demon. What's this got to do with a real life news story? What are you telling me? This guy breathes some demon gas? This cat was walking around undetected. Nobody knew who he was. He's just some schlub walking around in the city of New York for 16 years. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know how he was making his money. I don't remember. But meanwhile, this jackass is putting bombs everywhere. He was cutting the upholstery out of the... He'd go into the movie theaters and he would cut the seats, you know.
Stick a bomb in there?
Yeah, he'd cut a hole in the seat and stick the bomb in there. Now, miraculously, no one was killed in this 16-year reign of terror in New York City. There were people injured. Don't make any mistake about that. There were people that were hurt. One of them was an elderly men's room attendant, a man who went into a bathroom stall to see what was wrong when a patron said the toilet's plugged up. So he got a plunger. What are you laughing about?
What? Funny.
All right, we got to take a break anyway. Let's take a break and you get your jollies later. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show with more on, how dangerous it can be to plunge your toilet. Shut up. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Last week we were supposed to have Raj Fanin on our show. Mr. Fanin, an immigrant from Egypt who is working here in the United States. He is an environmental engineer working in the San Fernando Valley. We're going to have him on our show as our special guest next hour. We have him for a segment, and I apologize, Mr. Fanin, that we got a little jammed up in last week's program schedule. Bud, thank you for finding this.
Yeah, I found it in the Wall Street Journal.
Thank you. This is the story. Saltwater puts subway in jeopardy. The storm that has wreaked havoc along the East Coast struck a historic blow to one of New York City's most vulnerable and vital points, the subway system. What, Margaret? What?
I'm sorry, but Frank's on the line. He heard. He heard what? Well, I thought... Do you want me to put him on or what?
Frank, your husband?
Yes.
What does he want?
Can I just... Honey, you're on the air right now.
Hey, young, hey, Phil, it's Frank Gray.
How you doing, Frank?
I'm better than Custer. I wanted, because I just heard you, and I told him I'd call. Yeah, I heard you let a little gas out there.
What do you mean, let a little gas out?
I thought I heard a belch.
When? Okay.
Well, thought I'd let you know, because he wanted me to call if it was...
Well, if it's discernible on the air, did you want to know?
Did I ever say that that this was of vital importance?
Well, it's good you've got somebody out there.
Hey, bud, take it easy, okay?
Well, that was my thinking, because he was talking to me and said maybe you could act as kind of a quality control or something on the program. And I said, well, sure, I can if I hear her.
So what he heard was you belch slightly, and he called up immediately to... Let me know, and I'm passing it on to you.
Are you kidding?
What do you mean, am I kidding?
I don't know. I see them tell me about this.
Are you kidding? Are you honestly telling me that this is for real, or are you kidding? Is it a joke? I'd feel good if you told me it was a joke. I'd feel good if you said, oh, well, Phil, I'm just kidding. Ha, ha, ha. I mean, I'd be mad because you interrupted me, but at least I'd know. But if you're serious...
I happen to be serious, yes. Frank is out there at night... Not doing anything while Mama's at work. And he misses me, so I gave him something to do.
Well, I wish you wouldn't put it that way, but that's essentially what, you know.
He just called you she.
No, he was talking about you.
Were you talking about me?
Is this Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that you talking?
No, it was your wife.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard you talking. I didn't know it was him. What did he say?
She said that you're out there by yourself alone at home and this gives you something to do.
Well, I'm listening to the radio anyway, and I'm listening to conversation, and he told me, well, as long as you're listening to conversation, if you detect any belching or any scratching or anything like that, so...
Did she call up and did she ask you to...
Slow down. You're going too fast. You're going... You sound an awful lot like I handled a case about 3 years ago of a guy that faked as if she had autism, and she was looking to divorce her wife, okay? And
all right, I gotta go, Frank. Thanks a lot.
Wait a minute, I'm getting to the good part.
Okay.
Frank was trying to do you a favor.
Margaret, of all the ridiculous, asinine jobs that need to be done, that's one that doesn't need to be done. Oh, you belched. I thought I'd tell you.
What a child.
It's pretty funny, though.
I it's a madhouse. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
So anyway, she says to me, she says, I married a great gal. And she says that she really loves him. And of course she does.
Phil.
It's her wife.
Shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
I just talked to a friend of mine in the Washington, D.C. area who said to me, and I quote, it must be getting better because I don't hear stuff crashing anymore. So looking at the weather map that we've got here that Bud Dickman pulled up for us.
Yeah, that shows you right where to, and then the other thing is, see right over here.
I got it, Bud, thank you.
Yeah, but right here.
I got, you look where the news is.
What?
Where are you holding the news copy?
In front of your face.
What's it covering up?
The microphone. Sorry.
Give me that. Yes, so you can see if you're watching Phil TV in HD, and even if you're not, we can explain that the eye of this storm, hurricane or tropical storm or superstorm Sandy, which sounds so benign, the name Sandy is like a 1960s surf movie name.
Or it's a Jewish pitcher.
Or it's a Jewish pitcher. Huh?
Yeah, Sandy Koufax.
Oh, whatever. So there's the eye is through the southern part of Pennsylvania, and it looks as if it's moved right through the D.C. area. So folks in New York had it bad. Everybody had it bad. D.C., at least Washington, D.C., Virginia, Maryland, those areas, boy, and now it's on up into Pennsylvania. And then there's also a map that we were looking at that showed it showed the precipitation. And what do I mean by that? I mean that it was showing whatever moisture is created. And there's a lot of ice. There's heavy rain, and a lot of it is in North Carolina and parts of Ohio, you know.
What is the pink is the rain?
The pink color is the rain, and then the grayer it gets is snow. So there's snow and ice that's also accompanying this thing in different parts of the storm affected areas. And so I can't even, you know, I just gonna be very honest with you. I wouldn't live in that for more than 5 seconds.
Sounds good, then.
Yeah, I'd like to buy there. No, it's just, I remember, you know, the first snow, just to show you what kind of a weather virgin I am, and that there is such a thing, because there are people, I was not in my first snowfall. The first snowfall I was ever in, I was 29 years of age.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. 29 years of age. I was up at Big Bear Lake here in California, and it was snowing. It was a winter time. I went up fishing with a couple of friends of mine, and there I stood in the snow. So, and I thought, oh, that's really neat. You know, most people that see snow for the first time, it's just the greatest thing since sliced bread, right? The second time I was in a snowfall, the second, and only the second time I was in a snowfall, it wasn't even in Atlanta when they had that snow jam, because what happened in Atlanta, I think I was asleep when it snowed, so I never really saw it snow. I just woke up, there was snow everywhere in Atlanta, and it was in 93. The second time I saw snow was I was in Minneapolis. I was in my early 40s. I just turned 41. Or, no, I was 40. So that's like 11 years in between those two events. And then it snowed throughout, and since then, I haven't been in snow, unless, of course, you count, I went to a Green Bay, Chicago. It didn't even snow that day. So I think that's the last time it ever snowed.
So you're saying like two times?
Two times. And I lived in it for, you know, a good long time in Minneapolis. Make the long story short, and to get to the point of what it is I'm saying, I found out I don't like it. I don't like it, man. I don't want to live in it. No way. No way.
Well, I think it's very charming. And what about Christmas time? And the love,
you know, let me just say this. There was one time that I was at, I spent a Christmas at a friend's place, and it was snowing, and I remember how beautiful. I remember thinking, but I was very happy. You know, I was happy, and I was with, at the time, I was with a very good company, very nice company, and I could smell the smells of Christmas, and there was,
What's that smell like? Throw up?
Shut up, man. Come on, bud. And if you do that again, man, I'm going to send you rocketing out of this room.
Just joking.
And for some people, yes, the smells of Christmas involve throw up, but not for me. In any event, I remember it was really nice. And,
well, what did you smell?
Well, what do you think you smell at Christmas time?
Reindeer crap.
Never mind.
Oh, Phil, don't be a baby.
Never mind. Forget it.
Come on, man. I want to hear it, Phil.
No, I was just trying to, you know, trying to tell you a thing. It's okay.
Come on, don't be a big baby about it. Just because of Robert said it funny.
Come on, man, he's going to kick your ass.
Reindeer crap.
Come on, Phil, you got to admit that was funny.
All right, it was funny. So anyway.
Are you going to finish?
Yes, I'm going to finish. Don't keep bugging me about it or I'll stop.
What a baby.
Okay, that's it. I'm not going to say anything.
Come on, Margaret, why'd you have to do that?
I'm kidding, Phil, come on.
No, you call me a baby.
Come on, be the grown-up you're always telling us to be.
Yeah, good point. Okay. Anyway, it was a very beautiful thing, man. That's all I wanted to say. I remember looking outside, and I saw the snow on the ground. And, you know, for people that live in snow, what I'm saying doesn't mean anything. But you have to understand, coming from a guy like me, I didn't see snow. I never saw snow. I never saw it till I was 29 years old. I mean, literally. I mean, I saw a little bit of it when we went to Lake Arrowhead when I was a kid. And I remember being like 6 years old or something, and somebody said, look at that. And I go, wow! It's, you know, it was snow. It was laying on the ground. To me, that's a big damn, that was a big thing. And that's the last time I saw that. So, here I was. It was a Christmas, and I said, man, this is really beautiful. Look at that, the street. Everything is quiet. To me, I remember thinking that in wintertime when there's snow, it's like, just like they say in the poetry, the earth has gone to sleep, and it's covered in a nice white blanket.
As long as you don't throw up in bed.
That wasn't funny, man. No, it wasn't, and now you're going to get hit.
Come on, wait. Come on!
Yeah, you ran away. Stay out of here, man, unless you want to get belted.
I didn't do anything.
That's right. You didn't do anything. You didn't tell a joke that was funny. Nothing. If it had been funny, stay out. All right, saltwater put Subway in jeopardy. The storm that has wreaked havoc along the East Coast struck a historic blow. The storm surge driven by remains of Hurricane Sandy sent seawater pouring into at least six underriver tunnels of the Metropolitan Transportation Authority's Subway system on Monday night, seriously threatening the goal to quickly restore vital mass transit service in the city. Before Hurricane Sandy made landfall on Monday, the MTA worked to seal off openings that would allow corrosive salt water to sweep into the system and might incapacitate trains into the incoming weekend, or the coming weekend. After the flooding, its extent not yet fully measured, the threat of an extended shutdown loomed over a system that carries 5.5 million passengers a day and is essential to the city's economy. Now, that's interesting. It carries 5.5 million passengers a day, and it just said that 5.5 million passengers were affected by the power outage. Now, why the same number, Margaret? You're a newspaper woman.
Well, that's a very, very good question. That 5.5 million must be the active, I don't know.
Well, I thought there were 8 million people in Manhattan.
Maybe there's only 5.5 million.
Because the number they gave to the people that ride on the subways and the number they gave to the people who are going to be without power is identical. So that's, you know...
Well, Phil, don't start looking for a conspiracy.
No, but I think what I did find was a little bit of lazy reporting, don't you?
Why?
Because! How can it be the same number? Some reporter someplace just picked a number out of thin air. I don't know whether it was the guy doing the saltwater story or the guy doing the people without power.
Well, I mean, the people without power... Okay, think about it. The people without power, the people that live in a house, they don't have a power.
Okay, fine. Who says they all ride the subway?
Well, it stands to reason.
No, it doesn't stand to reason. What do you mean it stands to reason?
What difference does it make?
Well, wait just a second here, man. I mean, if they're just going to play it fast, it's not a big thing. But, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And if this is the kind of reporting, I go, oh, well, just throw a number at it, you know. It sounds really good. It's like the guy that I talked to via email. I think we were talking, you know, we were chatting on Facebook something. And the dude says... You know, 60 million people are going to be affected. Well, I mean, now let's just hold on for a second. 60 million people are going to be affected by the storm. In what sense are you talking, okay? Is it going to rain on 60 million people? Is that what you're saying? Are there going to be 60 million people who are going to have a roof torn off? What do you mean by 60 million? You know?
Well, but it's 60 million. What's wrong with that number?
What's wrong with the number is that when you say 60 million related to a story like this, people assume 60 million people are going to have something bad happen to them.
They do, man. They got that hurricane.
That's not necessarily... Wait a minute. If you're sitting in a house and the windows are banging and there's a lot of rain, okay, I guess you could say you're affected. But the way a story like that reads... is that the 60 million who are affected are going to, something more is going to happen to them than just the, like the power's going to be out, or there's going to be, you know, they won't be able to get to work, or they won't, you know.
Well, how many people do you think are able to get to work in this storm?
I don't know. I really don't know, and that's a very good question. And I think when you use that kind of panicky reporting.
Oh, man, that's not panicky. That's just, it's a round number.
Yeah, a round number. I love those round numbers, man. The only time they never give you the round numbers, they don't ever round it up on your paycheck, do you? But they sure as hell do it with the news. And
what's that mean?
You know what I'm talking about, a round number. You know, the whole world was lost for want of a round number.
Shakespeare.
No, Phil Hendry. All right. So in any event, there's 5.5 million people without power, and just coincidentally, there's 5.5 million people that are stranded on the subway system. So the subway system is, quote, in jeopardy. This is a direct quote from the MTA chairman, Joseph Latta. He said this on Monday. Our subway system and salt water, no way do they mix, baby.
No, he said?
No. But I paraphrased. Salt can eat at motors, metal fasteners, and the electronic parts, some many decades old, that keep the system running. See, that's the thing about the subways. And I think that it needs to be said, there's got to be a better way of updating the infrastructure. We have been living in this country for a long time. on old everything, old electrical grids, old bridges, old tunnels, old, boy, I'd hate to be in a tunnel when one collapses, you know.
Well, I don't. You're going to start spreading panic, Phil. I mean, what we're not talking about tunnels, we're talking about bridges.
Well, no, we're not talking about tunnels until we're talking about tunnels.
Well, what does that mean?
It means we're not talking about tunnels until one of them collapses. That's what it means. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Right after Phil just scared the living hell out of...
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
We'll be right back.
After Phil scared everybody half to death...
After Phil is going to be back, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. We're looking at shots from around the cities of New York. Baltimore, we are on Phil TV. If you're watching, you can see this is New York City. Look at that, which I take it as the Hudson River. And looking from New Jersey, and it, you might as well be on the shores of a very choppy ocean. There's also scenes from Ocean City, Maryland. The streets absolutely flooded. Other shots, one of Asbury, New Jersey. And they've got a variety of shots showing the water. And as I was saying at the beginning of the show, you know, water is like, it looks like it may be fun until it starts doing. Here is one from South Boston. So we were talking about this extending all the way, obviously, up into Massachusetts. And you can see some pretty choppy conditions on the water. Boston Harbor itself, where there is some kind of a tall ship that's anchored there. I don't know. I guess they got a bunch of those.
Well, they have the whole Boston Tea Party thing.
Well, I don't know whatever that is, but...
You know the Boston Tea Party?
Yes, I know what it is, but I don't know what that big ship was. Anyway, this is Boston. That doesn't look bad. It's just some choppy water. But when you're going down to New York and you're seeing, you know, that the steps are flooded and the wind is blowing like crazy and it's keeping people from going about and doing their duty, their daily duties.
Sounds like going to the bathroom.
Yes, that's what it sounds like, Margaret.
No, it's okay. I've got to go to the toilet.
Why?
Because you're talking about it.
Oh. Anyway, having just talked to my friend there in Maryland who said that the things are not crashing, I can't believe that where they're living, they weren't flooded out of there. They're in a house. They're in the D.C., right in the D.C. metropolitan area, and I haven't heard too much coming from Washington, D.C., so perhaps the actual city itself... The District of Columbia, at least, and the immediate area wasn't as affected as other parts of Maryland, like we were saying, Ocean City and places like that. So anyway, we're also talking about the salt water hitting the subway system, the salt eating at motors, metal fasteners, electronic parts, a lot of them many decades old. And we're talking about the infrastructure. That's what I meant, Margaret. Oh, she's in the bathroom.
Let me go get her. I'll go get her.
No, don't go get her, bud.
Hey! Hey!
What the hell do you want?
You're in a bathroom?
No, I'm voting.
She's voting.
She's kidding you, okay?
What an idiot, man.
What?
She says she's voting. She's kidding. She's in the bathroom.
Oh.
She's voting.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, I just like that lady.
Anyway, the MTA closed down its entire regional network of rails and buses Sunday evening and expected it will remain dark at least until Wednesday. Agency officials couldn't say how quickly the subway could be brought back into operation. Boy, it's a lot of people who ride that subway, and I would recommend once they get it back up and running, if you visit New York, you should go on a subway. Here's two good reasons. Number one, it's the best way to get around. Number two... If you've never been to New York before and you want to immerse yourself in the city life and the culture and not feel like such a tourista, get on the subway and ride around for a few hours. You're going to be fine. Nobody's going to hurt you. There's people that are just commuting. They're just going to and from. That's it. It's not there's nothing to be afraid of. And when you do that, you feel a little bit more like you're part of the city and you feel a little more like, hey, you know, I just took the subway. Now I think I'll go up and get a piece of pizza or something, you know.
Yeah, kind of like you're born and raised there or something.
Well, not quite, but, you know, you feel like you're a little bit more a part of the New York experience. That's what I would do.
Frank and I loved, when we first went to New York when we were married, Now, of course, I'd been and Frank had been there, but we went together, and we had the greatest time taking one of the tour buses.
What? That's gay.
Well, Bud, I'm not even going to comment, all right?
I had to clean up your puke.
Yeah, like, you already pulled in that check, so go ahead.
What?
As I was saying, we love to take the tour bus. We get right on the very top, and we love to listen to the tour guide tell us all about the different things, you know?
Like what?
What do you mean, like what? Like the things you see.
Well, I mean, what does he tell you about?
Well, I mean, you drive in the tour bus, and the man, who's the tour guide, and he has a microphone.
Yeah, I've seen that. A lot of time they have a bullhorn, too.
Well, I think... Excuse me. I'm sorry.
All right, that's it.
Oh, come on, Phil. Oh, Phil. It was Chinese noodles.
Get out of here, Chinese noodles.
Damn, Margaret, if I'd have done that, you'd have Phil have me fired.
I don't give a sweet...
You going back in the bathroom?
Yes.
Why?
To throw up after all of that I've been put through.
It's unbelievable. Margaret's one of these women who...
I can hear you talking about me.
I don't care. She's one of these people who will commit every abomination under the sun, and then if you do anything even one-tenth as bad, she's all over you like stink on crap.
That's the truth.
You know, she belches. She's using the bathroom. She doesn't flush. She this, she that. And then the next thing you know, there's Margaret, and she's ripping into you.
That's what you sound like.
Are you out of the bathroom yet?
No.
So, in any event, that is life with Margaret. Okay, so I think we're up to... Do you think we're up to speed?
Yeah, about the storm?
Yeah, I think we're up to speed. I think we got everybody. They know what's up, and we know what's up. I already told my bomber story, which I thought was kind of cool. I don't think it's cool that a guy was bombing people.
You don't have any toilet paper.
What?
You don't have toilet paper.
I'll get it.
All right, and leave it at the door. I don't want you barging in here. What are you laughing at?
You can hear me laughing, huh?
I leave the door slightly ajar so I know what's going on.
I wondered why I could hear the toilet so loud, you know.
I swing the door open so you can hear it flush, and then I close it slightly.
You swing it open so I can... Why do I need to hear it flush?
Weren't you saying that the pipes were jammed?
No, I was not saying the pipes were jammed.
Well, who was using the... You said someone was using the plunger.
I was talking about the mad bomber put a bomb in a toilet in New York in 1956, and it blew up while a guy was using the plunger.
Oh.
Oh, man. That's... Yeah, you weren't too far off with that one.
Grow up.
No, you grow up. I can't believe I'm talking to somebody through a half-open door, but if she flushes, well, she swings the door open real wide because she wants to know whether I... Look at this!
Aren't you glad? I would think you'd be happy.
Yes, I'm ecstatic, Margaret. Thank you very much. Thank you for letting me hear my own toilet flush. That's great. That's great.
I think you'd be happy about it.
Yes, I'm very happy. That's great. Thank you very much. Is it worthy... Look at this. Now I'm in the middle of a break. Okay, so I've just butchered a whole...
Ladies and gentlemen, you gotta lay down, Phil. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on the Phil Henry Show.
I'll do it. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on the Phil Henry Show.
Let me do it, Phil. Ladies and gentlemen,
get out of there, will you? Don't ever... We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show right after this.
We'll be back on the Phil Henry... I'll do it again. I'm not trying to butt in. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show right after this. Let me go. Call in if you can't hear this. Well, I guess they wouldn't call, but they call him.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here. I got a picture here, and again, if you got Phil TV, you can see this. I ran outside on Saturday night because the weather, you know, it's, and I'm not trying to rub this in, it's just, it's weird how things work, but this is a picture from the El Pacifico where we do our show, and I ran out to the beach, as the sun had gone down, and that little light, by the way, in the middle, and I got another little grousey comment from some schlub on Facebook. He was all, yeah, nice picture of the freaking oil rig. You know what, dude? Why don't you go ahead and why don't you run on home to your mama? Anyway, that, there's a light right there in the middle. That is an oil rig, and it looks beautiful to me. I love that oil rig. But look at that sunset, man. And the that is the those are the Channel Islands, Anacapa, Santa Rosa. And so I'm looking across the channel at those islands. That was our night sky as the sun set Saturday night. And I'm finding all of a sudden all this hell is hitting in on the East Coast, right? And Saturday was sweet. I mean, it was nice. It was amazing. It was hotter than hell in L.A., like 90. But coming up the coast here, I don't think it was more than like in the 70s or something.
Oh, you got it just so tough here.
Well, hey, you know, Margaret, I mean, you and Frank are, Frank's caked out.
What does that mean, caked out?
Beach, he's got a lot of money.
Oh, he's going to blow his money on what, buying a beach? I don't think so.
Oh, well, isn't that just too bad? I guess you're just going to have to sweat it out up there in Santa Monica, Beverly Hills.
You know, Phil, we don't have an attitude about it.
All right, good. Don't be bitching at me. You know, I'm just...
Well, you were talking about how far away from town you live.
I do. I live a long way away. I live an hour away on the freeway from L.A., and it pisses me off sometimes because I should be living closer, and I'm not going to get into why. And
I know why. It's on account of your divorce.
Shut up, man.
That's no nobody's business, man. Sorry.
Don't be talking about stuff that's none of your business. You know what? I'm not grousing at my ex. No. Okay? Things are what things are. Okay? I'm just saying. You know, it sucks. And that's just the way that that is. Okay. In other parts of the news, I mean, are we done talking about this storm?
I think, yeah, thank you.
Okay. Because I am. I'm all through talking about the storm. What else is there? There's the presidential election. There is the...
That's boring.
That's boring, huh? All right. Then there's the presidential election. There is, let's see, Alex Smith lacks confidence, just gobble, gobble turkey to Jim Harbaugh. What is this? Oh, it's the football. Did you guys watch any football?
I didn't.
Well, I do know that the Milwaukee Lions played today in the Hillbilly Football Conference. That game will be available for download tomorrow. The Lions took on the Portland Logs at home at Duckworth Memorial there in Milwaukee, where I don't think there was any bad weather. And so, again, that'll be available for download. Also, we have our free, the Phil Hendry podcast, which is available to you on iTunes. If you want to listen to parts of our archives, sort of a greatest hits of our archives, you can check that out on iTunes. And that is a sweet thing as well. Episode 61 has been loaded up there. But if all else fails, get yourself a backstage pass to our website, philhendryshow.com, which has close to 5,000 hours of great material. We also have our daily video casts that are archived. We have our daily show logs and our news feed and the podcast of the show. It just goes on and on and on and on. You can get it all over there at philhendryshow.com, which is the online headquarters of our radio show. And additionally to that, you can access the free podcast by way of the banner on our website there. So you can check that out or go on over to, as I say, what is it?
iTunes.
iTunes. All right. That's it. That's all I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about anything else.
But the guy...
No, actually, we got Raj Fanin hanging on the line, and let's bring him on now because Raj is a longtime friend of our radio show. Raj, I wanted to talk to you a little bit. I wanted to talk to you just a little bit, Raj, here about the situation in the Middle East and Syria and not only Syria, but Lebanon and Israel and all of these other things and, you know, stuff that obviously we've talked to you about before.
Yes.
And how you see things shaping up over there. The United States out of Iraq, the United States pulling out of Afghanistan, Israel, Iran.
Well, you know, Phil, this is a difficult question because, you know, this bastard, and I know you don't want me to say bastard, I don't mean the bastard, but I live in this country, I live in America, you know, it's a good country, and it's a place that, for me, has been a good place to live, and it's difficult for me to say, you know, because I don't want to say anything that is going to offend or...
But just give us your honest opinion.
Well, my honest opinion is that... you know, there's more difficult time to come in the Middle East. And I think America needs to, more than ever before, I think this America needs to stay away from the Middle East. You know, and I don't mean that, I don't mean that in terms of diplomacy, you know, but I think the military, you know.
Well, I think the American people probably agree with you. I think we've had enough of military, our military option in the Middle East. You know, there are differences of opinions in this country as to whether that was effective or not. I happen to think it was. There are many Americans that don't think it was. That's just the way it's going to have to be. But as going forward, there's I think there's probably a consensus that we don't want to if we don't have to.
But you say you think America has been successful, as you say?
Yeah, I do. I think that for the most part, America's military option that was exercised in the Middle East following 9/11, the result of, I think, decades of allowing terrorist, the terrorist bases, terrorist individuals, terrorist friendly governments to sit and to just sort of, you know, immerse themselves and marinate themselves in their own bullcrap and poison. I think after decades of that, following 9/11, something had to be done, and guess what? Iraq got it.
You know, the reason why I say that is because I've not had, for me, I've not had the temerity or the courage, if you want to say, I've not had the intestinal fortitude to say what I wanted to say about Iraq, you know. But the more I speak to people about this Iraq war and I look going forward, you know, the more I'm convinced that my instinct was that I said I was against the Iraq war, but I was more for it, you know. My son Todd, he says that I really fought Iraq because of I hated the neighborhood architecture, you know.
And you were in favor of the Iraq war or against it? I thought you were against it.
I know. I said I was against. But after talking and speaking and listening and, you know, living in America, it's a free society, you know, what it's in favor of. But I was in favor of Iraq because it reminded me of places I grew up in Egypt, you know, Alexandria, the different neighborhood. It reminded me of these old houses, the old clay houses, you know. It reminded me of the old bazaar, you know. It reminded me of these... It is, frankly, a not good memory. Yeah, I thought my son says it was something I wanted to obliterate, you know, from my mind.
And you wanted to obliterate the memory of Egypt?
But yes. And Iraq, in so many ways, reminded me of Egypt, you know. And so when the bombs fell on Iraq, I said to myself, I could not believe that I said it, but I look and I say, I God help me, if we still don't get them, should not heal it.
And what was it? What am I doing?
My son, Todd.
That's your son, Todd, who was born in America? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah.
And your son, Todd, born in America, still speaks Arabic?
He speaks Arabic, yes. Todd, you know how to speak English. He does not want to speak English here at home. He wants to speak Arabic at home. It's my son, Todd, you know?
Okay.
Anyway, my son Todd says to me, I said, what did you say? The movie Patton, you know, God help me, I love it, God help me, I love it, you know. And
but it was in the George C. Scott's line in the movie Patton, I love it, God help me, I love it so.
Yes, and when I see the bomb drop on Iraq, I don't want to love because that's the Middle East, America dropping bombs in the Middle East, but I do want to love it because the home, they remind me of the garbage pit house that I was raised in as a boy, and I want to obliterate it from my mind, you know. So I see it, and I sat and I looked at the news and thought, you were with me. And I said, God help me, I love that soul. Yeah. God help me, I love it
so. So when you saw the bombs and the shock and the awe in the initial stages?
Not just the initial stage, but the whole war. So
you were sitting there loving it.
I loved it. And so, in the Middle East today, that was Iraq. Now, let's talk about Middle East today. But I look at Syria, I look at Lebanon, and I see Turkey engage Syria. I hope Turkey beats Syria in war. I hope Turkey goes to war in Syria and beats, and God help me, I love that song.
This is the first one.
Yes.
Well, I mean, let's slow down here, because when you say that, I'm afraid my audience is going to think you'd like to see a loss of life.
No, no, it's not a loss of life. I want to see this dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, rat hole houses that cheap put up yesterday, fall down tomorrow, garbage can, cheesy motel looking, cheap ass. I'm sorry, Phil.
It sounds to me like you got a problem with architecture. Is that it?
Yeah, when I look at Syria, I look at the same as Syria, Iraq, the same kind of building material, same kind of building design. I think they use the same term, you know.
Well, what's the problem here? See, because what I'm hearing you say here, Raj, is that you, okay, the Middle East, get out America.
No, not get out America, get military.
I understand. You don't want the American military. You want American diplomacy, but you love the idea of a war breaking out between Turkey and Syria so that Turkey can smash all the bad architecture in Syria. Is that it?
Well, I know it sounds stupid that way, you know.
Why are you asking your son?
That's my son, hold on. Yeah, my son, Todd, says, and this is, I agree, because he says this. He says, well, you've smashed the architecture, you smashed the architecture of the power, and you smashed the architecture of the poor, and you have to rebuild. And you must rebuild in a new world, with a new man. A new man, not built out of order, but out of disorder, you see. Yes, this is an anarchist. This is the anarchist creed. I want to see a new man born out of disorder.
I don't know what you're talking about, okay? And your son, I don't think your son knows either.
You don't want to know what he just said, you know?
Well, you know what? I don't want to know what he just said, because your son's a little precocious for me. All right, so this is the first pro-war Middle Easterner I've ever... You're from Egypt. What about Egypt?
What about Egypt?
Well, what do you want to see happen there?
I mean, Egypt is a toilet. Egypt is a toilet, okay? And this new prime minister, you know... He's not making it. He's not going to get it done. He's not going to make it. He's no good. And this Muslim Brotherhood, they're no good. Okay? So they're going to have to pick a cabinet. And let me tell you something. This is America can help, you know. And
America's not going to get into bed with anybody in Egypt that isn't going to be, you know, playing ball here, man. We've had it with these dictators. Forget it. I ain't going to be supporting it. As this American citizen, if I see anything in Egypt returning to that Mubarak or any of that jazz, any of these guys like Assad or the rest of them, I will not. This is one voter that will not support it.
Well, you vote for that Romney, that's what's going to happen. Because Romney, he's going to get into bed, you know. Don't grab the phone. Todd, grab the phone. Todd says that Romney will get into bed with every swing and you know what. Yeah, Romney would you know what a bush if he thought a snake was in it.
Well, your son's got some real pointed and obscene opinions, doesn't he?
Well, the kid knows what he's talking about.
You know what a bush if he thought a snake was in it.
Right.
All right, Raj, thanks a lot. Best to the family.
You too, Phil. And also...
Get him out of here. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know what he just said. Something about bombing the architecture in the Middle East to smithereens. And that his son is anti-Romney, his 8-year-old Arabic-speaking, born-in-America son. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Oh,
the Phil Hendry Show.
Shut up. I said to shut up. Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and Phil TV in HD. We're looking at our Doppler weather map, so we were trying to get off the subject of weather and move it on into the Middle East. We had Todd and his father, Raj, and all they could talk about was bombing all the bad architecture into oblivion, so that was...
That is stupid!
Okay, fine, I took a shot. Anyway, looking at the radar weather, now, as I said, I talked to friends in Washington, D.C. about 20 minutes ago, and the quote that I relayed to you... things have stopped crashing, so we figure it's okay. Now, you can see, if you don't, just follow along here, the eye of this thing, we can see, has passed through Maryland. It looks to be like close to the southern tip here of Pennsylvania. But that's where the eye of hurricane, tropical storm, superstorm Sandy has gone. Look at the cloud. There's this intense dark green over Maryland and what looks like, you know, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, you know, northern Virginia. And that's where these clouds seem to be just swirling. So we talk about New York. New York has actually got hit by that kind of, you know, the outer wave of the thing shoving all that water. I mean, you can see how it would shove water right up into New York Harbor. But the fact is, the skies are clearing over much of New York right now, from what we can see. The other thing that's going on here is they were talking about 3 feet of snow in West Virginia.
Yes, and right there you can see, Phil, the gray and the very nice pink. And, oh, look at that. There's a gray and a pink.
Yeah, how do they do that?
I don't know. It's,
can we get to the weather part of this?
What?
Oh, the gray and the pink. I mean, I don't care.
Dude, look at it, the color.
Who cares about the color? I'm talking about the
Yeah, what are you talking about, Phil?
Yeah, what are you talking about, Phil?
How'd you like me to belt you just because, you know, I feel like it right now? Not for anything you've done wrong, just because I want to hit you.
No.
Okay. What I'm talking about is that West Virginia is covered with snow. Big deal. I mean...
You see?
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah, see all the time you waste talking about West Virginia? First of all, West Virginia is a good place.
You know, we ought to get Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton on the line. Why are we screwing around?
Well, who are the... Oh, not those two. Phil, please.
No, I think, yes. I think I want to get Kurt. Robert, you do the honors, okay?
What about me?
I don't trust you.
Yeah, I'll get him up.
So, we're going to get Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton on the phone here to find out exactly... to find out exactly how things are hanging in their neck of the woods and see if we've got any other news to report. I'm not sure. There has been... reports of, as we told you, there were reports of some fatalities, and that's never, ever good. From Charleston, West Virginia, is that them? Kurt, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, how you doing? Hanging in here, and I'm so glad to be on your program tonight. We're hoping you call up. I was just talking about you.
Is Guy there?
Right now, Guy's not. I'm going to get him on the other line, though. I'm at home right now, and you can tell we've got not a very good, clear signal.
Now, how's the weather been?
Well, I expect you understand, because I heard you say that we're going to get some snowfall, and there will be a snowfall here very, very shortly. I'm sure of that. Get line, Guy Barton on the other line. Phil, we've had a very, very difficult day, but it looks as if it's going to end good, at least for the people here in the Mountaineer State. You're right about the snow, but I can tell you this. I'll take the snow anytime. Over a hurricane. Now, let me get on the phone. Hello, Guy?
Yeah, Guy Barton.
Hey, Guy, it's, listen, I've got on the line here, Phil Hendry, it's Kurt.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I want to know how you guys are doing there.
I can't complain. I've been laying down. I'm looking at that Jimmy Kimmel.
No, I was going to look at, what you got on?
I don't know yet. I'm going to look at a Kimmel.
You were doing what?
I'm looking at Jimmy Kimmel and some other things, too.
Well, Mr. Henry called up, wanted to know how we're doing.
We're doing fine. I'm doing fine. You know that weather downstate too.
Yeah, I heard the weather in you know Maryland and all through in Virginia too. You guys look like you're getting snow.
Get snow?
Yeah, Phil. Looking at the weather outside, what does it look like where you are?
Well, let's take a look here. I got a call over my wife. My wife's dead asleep. I don't want to wake up.
Well, don't wake your wife up.
No, Nick. Yeah, I look like I've got snow. Yeah, coming down pretty good now. But I'm looking at Jimmy Kimmel and that, what'd you think of that Trojan Twist? Did you get that?
Oh, I don't know. I got Trojan Twister or not.
I just seen another ad for that thing.
All right, I'll let you go then. So there's nothing going on, huh?
Nah, there's nothing going on. Ain't nothing going on.
Yeah, I got another. I'm in the office still, Phil, but I'm going to head out here in a little bit and I'll tell you what.
Just drive careful.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm going to drive careful. And I'll try to give you a call later on, and I'll try to...
All right, we got it. Right, thanks very much, folks. The show's been produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. I'm sorry we had to just split real fast there because we're out of time. Thank you, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, for you know, updating us on, and I don't want the American flag flying behind me right now, bud, thank you very much for updating us on the situation there in West Virginia. I think the only thing that was going on was a guy was watching Jimmy Kimmel. Don't forget to join us online at philhendryshow.com and join us again tonight for more of the Phil Hendry Show. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.